is good, isn't it, to just hear from people, hear what's going on in their lives. And just before we do, I'd just like to cast your mind back to a year ago, because this time last year, this was our first Sunday in this building. Yeah, can you believe it? And I remember just before Christmas, we were having our Christmas carol service in the old Grey Centre, which is a venue that we used to be in for 7 years. And, you know, thinking, oh, actually, there was a whole period where we couldn't find a venue. And then, you know, at the 11th hour, the school said, actually, we could come meet here. And that was a miracle in itself, really. And thinking, what's it going to be like, you know, being in a hall? And yet, a year later, so much has happened. And in fact, over this last year, we've thrived. We've really thrived as a church. And so I was just thinking through, and I won't be able to list everything, but a few things that as a whole church, so Grace Church, we're Borgna, Chichester and Midhurst. So as a whole church, some of the things that happened over this last year, one was that we did the Borgna Fun Day. And that was where we basically put on an event for everyone to come to in the local area in Borgna. And we had a few thousand people came through, enjoyed bouncy castles, free burger, like an owl display. There was all sorts going on. And since that's happened, because we had like this a little tent for kids and toddlers, the baby group in Borgna has been booming. And just before Christmas, they had 77 at one of their Little Bears events. They meet every week as a toddler group, and they've just been booming since then. In Midhurst, they've had several outreach days, as well as a Midhurst Kids Christmas party, which went really well. And they all got dressed up as elves, like they do each year, and helped signpost things around. And so they're doing really well. In fact, they've also, during this year, they've moved to a new venue. So they've moved to Midhurst Rother College, and now it gives them more space, and they're continuing to grow, and they're doing well. And so it's good that that's been going on in Midhurst. And we, in Chichester, we celebrated 10 years, didn't we, as Grace Church in Chichester, where we had over 300 people come into Kay and Julie's house, swimming pool, again, burgers. And we always do burgers, don't we? Burgers and sausages, they're great. Free food, it's always good. We had bouncy castles, swimming, we had games, we had fun. And we had a bit of a worship session during that celebration, and we had planned for two people to get baptized, and then Steve did an excellent talk, didn't he? And four more people came forward to get baptized, so we baptized six. And wasn't that a great event where we could celebrate the 10 years of Grace Church so far? We've gone through the whole book of Mark, which I thought was a brilliant series. And then we've gone through God's promises, haven't we? And in the summer, we had different people talking about why I follow Jesus. And I just think over this year, we've heard some really good speakers and good speaking, and lots of different people coming through, and just excellent speakers, I think, coming through that we're seeing more and more regularly. And then we've also, we welcomed two Syrian refugee families, didn't we? And Dave Thompson, just over about 18 months ago, mentioned about how he wanted to start a befriending team. And in this last year, two families have now arrived in Chichester, and our befriending team have got alongside them, and they've been helping them. They helped kit out their houses and, you know, help them find work, and just getting alongside them and just spending time with them. And that's such a vital service as a church, helping them to integrate into society. And our carol services, we raised a bunch of money for St. Wilfrid's Hospice, which was great. And I don't know the final figure on that, but we'll get that to you soon. We also went to West Point. Do you remember West Point? We took 200 people from Grace Church, went to West Point, which is a camp where we camp for 4 or 5 days, and we just hear great teaching as a family of churches. We all get together, sort of 4,000 to 5,000 people, camping together and hearing from God. And I'm fully expectant that we'll top that again this year. You can book already straight away. You can get booked in for West Point. So I'd encourage you to do that. But it's just brilliant. And also, I think the last thing I'll just mention about good stuff, because I know there's many more, but I feel it's been really great just hearing stories of people who have walked through difficult situations but have remained in faith, in peace. They've continued to walk with God, and they've continued to walk humbly, even though they might be facing difficulty. And, you know, that's one of my top things, actually, people that are speaking to God, talking to him, even in the face of difficulty, in the face of difficult circumstance, and walking with him through that. Because that's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to do that. And yet, all around the room, I know many different stories of people who are hearing from God and then just walking with him and praying to him and seeking him for different situations in their lives. And we're going to hear a few of them today, actually. But I know there's many more. But also, being Christian isn't just about putting on a smile, is it? We've also had a bit of sadness. There's been some sad moments. I know there's been many people that have lost loved ones over this year. We've lost Richard, our dear friend, haven't we, over this year. And our prayers and thoughts are with Wendy, continually, aren't they? And the family. We've all personally faced different trials and challenges. And I love Testimony Sunday because it's a good chance for us to hear what's gone on in people's lives, how God has been moving and working in their lives, but also to give us encouragement for this next year. Because I know some of you will know already that there are challenges that you're facing over this year. And yet God is faithful. He's a good father, isn't he? And we get to, by hearing other people's testimony, hearing their stories, we just get reminded that even when we are faithless, he is faithful, as we heard already today, but that he is faithful to the very end of the age. You know, last year, I was nervous about what it meant for us to be meeting in this building, but we've just continued to grow in maturity, in word, in spirit, in number over this last year. And as we come to 2017, there is so much to look forward to. We've mentioned already the lead elder thing coming up, haven't we? Dave Thompson coming into lead eldership. I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be really good for our church. And I cannot wait to January the 11th. We're already working as a team in that way more and more. And it's just going to be excellent. I think it's going to be really good. So do make sure you come along to that. I'm looking forward to being able to send off Steve and Joe and the kids and the family. Not because we want to get rid of them, but just because on the 30th, I think, you know, their last Sunday here on the 30th of April. Make sure you got that in your diary because we will celebrate and we'll thank God for all that these two wonderful people have done for this church. You know, it's not easy, is it, to come and plant a church from nothing? I remember when I came along, there was already 20 people, but even that was quite small. Me and Catherine started coming right at the beginning, and there's 20 people or so in the hall and in Oving Village Hall, and these guys welcomed us in. And then to see that then grow to a large church and then to three sites and to all the different things that are going on. It's brilliant. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having more baptisms. And so another date for your diary is February the 12th. We're going to do baptisms on that Sunday afternoon. So get that in your diary too. But we'll give you more information nearer the time. I'm looking forward to West Point again. I'm looking forward to just seeing new leaders and servers and people come and be added to our number. So God is good, isn't he? He's been providing for us this whole year. And it's going to continue to. So as we hear these stories, it'd be good for you to think and be thankful for all the things that God has done in your life over this last year. Take courage and encouragement from hearing their stories. And we're all for them, aren't we? They're a little bit nervous. That's okay, but we're for them. So as we invite them up, let's clap them. And as we sit them down, we'll clap them too. And let's remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We heard it already today. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for the future and a hope. And I realised I haven't clicked at all during my PowerPoint, so I'll just click on. But let's welcome up our first one, who's Kylie Blackman. Come on, Kylie, come up.
So I'm Kylie. I've been coming along to Grace Church for around 18 months now. So a bit of background. So I was raised in a Catholic family going to church every Sunday. When I reached my teenage years, I decided to stop going to church as the Catholic beliefs and values didn't sit right with me. There was about 12 years where God wasn't in my life. So on my first visit to Grace, I was met by the Holy Spirit during worship. It took me a few weeks to understand what it meant, but I can now confidently stand here and say that it was me being welcomed home by God, and it felt great. So I gave my life to God and was baptised last November. I want to share with you all the difference in my life over the last year. So there's been a couple of instances where having God in my life has helped me to overcome difficult times. The first one was on the 17th of August 2016 when my Uncle Trevor passed away unexpectedly. A week later was West Point. Being in the presence of the Lord that weekend helped me in my grief. The pivotal moment was on the Saturday evening, I think it was, when Vinu was up on stage and he was praying for the lifting of illness, depression, healing, and those going through difficult times. I felt God's presence, and as well as receiving healing on my foot following an injury 3 months previously, I no longer felt overwhelmed by grief, and I felt strong enough to move forward. I just felt calmer, lighter, and happier. The second instance is that over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks, I've had a relapse in an illness that I've battled with for 10 years, which is depression. started feeling worthless, sad all the time, crying over the smallest things. I just felt completely alone. The difference in my recovery this time compared with previous times is thanks to our amazing God. Going to the doctor and tablets, of course, helped, but the support and guidance of God was paramount. And the turning point was actually during Steve's preach a few weeks ago and being reminded that God will never leave us and is always there no matter what, through the good and the bad times. The promise was from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." It was just what I needed to hear, and since then I've started to feel better, with everything starting to look a little bit brighter. So for anyone who does need strength for any situation that they're going through, just remember that all the while you have God in your life, you've got a father, a friend, and a protector, among other things. And Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
Brilliant. Thank you, Kylie. It's just excellent, isn't it? And Kylie's also, she's now serving on our students and 20s team and just doing a brilliant job helping the team there. And it's been great getting to know her as well over the last year. And I encourage you to too. And so our next one, can we give a big round of applause for Sharon? Come on, Sharon.
I grew up in a loving, caring family, but as a family, we didn't really go to church. My family moved to Bournemouth when I was 16, and years later, whilst working at a company, I met my future husband, Lewis. He was my boss at the time. It was here that God spoke to me and told me he was the one for me. A couple of years later, we were married in 1991. Lewis had been a Christian since he was 18. I had always believed in God, but did not read enough of the Bible. Lewis had Bibles all over the house and endless books on Jesus, but I never read any of them. He also had a theology degree. We went through some tough times together, but our love kept us strong. We set up a successful cleaning business 15 years ago, which I've kept going to this day. Lewis pushed himself to the limit and in later years turned to drink to get himself through his day. He said he would not live a long age, and he lost confidence. As much as I tried to help, I could not get him to seek help through our doctor or go to AA. Sadly, Lewis died last February, my brother and I by his side. Drink had killed him. He was 53 years old. Last September would have been our silver wedding anniversary. I was now on my own with my two lovely spaniels, but I did not need to worry. God touched the back of my head during Lewis's church service, letting me know he was there for me. God helped me through, and whenever I was really low, something always happened, a ping of a text, a knock at the door, or a phone call from someone. I knew God had sent that person to cheer me up. I asked Lewis if we could attend Grace Church one day. He said yes when he was better. I had known Sherry through her work for approximately 3 years, and she said she would pray for me. I asked her which church she went to. She said Grace Church. So I said, "I'm going to attend this Sunday," and I did. David Hunt was the first person I spoke to on the door. Sherry came over halfway through and hugged me, and by the end of the service, I knew Monica. Afterwards at coffee, Chris came and spoke to me, so did Joe Leach, and probably a few others of you, I can't remember. Within 2 weeks, I had made lots of caring, loving friends and joined Monica's life group. God had helped me through the most heartbreaking and painful time in my life. And since Lewis has died, so much good has come out of bad, and I've got to thank for it. I was baptized at Grace Church's 10th anniversary party last summer, and what a tremendous feeling that was, a sense of belonging and a commitment to God. I've been on the Alpha course and am now following Beta, which is so good for me. I can honestly say that everything I asked God to help me with or to provide me with has happened. God eventually took away my fear of being alone in my house at night after Lewis died. He has also given me the confidence to drive a fair distance alone, something I could not do before in my life. God looked after me and my spaniels, who were taken into emergency vets on Boxing Day just gone, as one of them had found a fruitcake that I'd been given as a present. You won't laugh when you see the vet bill price. As not sure which one had eaten it, they both had to stay in the hospital for 48 hours in Portsmouth. They both recovered and are fit and well, thank goodness. Though I have pet insurance, it's not going to cover the £900 vet bill. But I'm not worried. I trust God to help me with my finances this year. God has a plan for me, and I leave it up to him to make my life as happy and content as it can be. Lewis told me if anything was to happen to him, I must move on and meet someone else. I said, no, never. He emphasised, I must. So I agreed. It was good to have his blessing because I've recently met a really nice Christian guy in the last few weeks and am embarking on a new relationship with him. I asked God to find me someone who can make me happy again, and this guy has. He is unable to be here today because he's been in bed with flu since Christmas Day. One final word. My late husband once said he loved God more than me. He didn't expect me to understand, and at the time I didn't. But I now know what he meant. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Well done. Well done. Well done, Sharon. It was one of our privileges, wasn't it, to baptise Sharon on the 10th birthday, and just seeing her come along this last year has been tough, hasn't it? And it's been tough for many people, and yet, you know, God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding, doesn't he? And so, well done, Sharon. That's good, good. Okay, Jen. Come on, Jen. Fantastic.
Hello. It's been quite a tough year last year, and I had to move to Westgate Road. And my sister Amanda hadn't been very well. I've got to look on the positive side and not to worry about her. And, you know, I'm happy at Westgate Road, and I have to think positive about things. I'm starting a new job in the RSPCA on Tuesday, and... you know, I hope that this year will be a good year for me. And thank you for everybody that you've done for me last year.
Wonderful. We, a couple of weeks ago, just before the Christmas carol services, me and Jen and a few others went out and we were leafleting around. And I don't know if you've seen it, we had a lovely picture of me, Jen and Panda. Delivering leaflets, and no, thank you, Jen. Jen's just been brilliant. You know, she's been part of our church a long time now, and just excellent. Thank you, Jen, for sharing with us. We're doing well, aren't we? This is good, aren't they? It's good to hear what God's been doing. Let's have Helen. Come on, Helen. Come on.
Hello, everyone. I grew up in a non-Christian family, so the concept of church was completely alien to me. I went to church a handful of times when I met Laura. We were both working at a part-time job together, and after our Sunday shift, she'd asked me to go along to church with her, and I'd go on the proviso that we could go to the pub afterwards for a cider, which we did. Over the years, Laura mentioned Alpha, and I did it a couple of times with a different church when I was living in Portsmouth, but I never really pursued it any further. When I moved back to Chichester 18 months ago, Laura asked if I was going to come to church. And as I wasn't expecting that question, I hadn't prepared excuses about why I couldn't go on a Sunday morning forever. So I started coming along. I went to Alpha in September last year, so 2015. And one evening I came home and found myself asking, God, are you with me? And God, are you for me? And before I'd even thought it, I had the answer. I am with you and I am for you. I was a bit freaked out. So the following week at Alpha, I spoke to David about hearing a voice and explained what had happened. And he said, yeah, that's God. So throughout the last year at various points when I've needed to hear it, I am with you and I am for you have been part of a preach. Toward the end of Alpha, I realised that I had a choice like I'd had before. There was no pressure and it was totally down to me. and I could say goodbye to the friends I'd made or take a leap of faith. And I knew I'd always have questions and probably never have all the answers, but it didn't matter. Life was really different, and I had a sense of overwhelming peace. One Friday in November was just a normal day. I was working from home, and then my world was turned upside down when my dad was rushed into hospital. I felt completely helpless, so I texted a few people and asked for prayers. The offers of support and shoulders to cry on were countless. After 48 hours of unconsciousness, my dad miraculously and unexpectedly woke up. He was awake for 30 perfect minutes, and he told each one of us individually and in turn how much he loves us and gave us all a kiss goodbye. Even though he wasn't a Christian, my dad was open-minded, and years ago I remember him speaking to me about the power of prayer. He believed it was possible and had read evidence that if enough people get together and pray for the same thing, prayer works. I believe the power of prayer was demonstrated through my dad waking up for all of us. In the few weeks before my dad was taken into hospital, Grace had started a series, A Future and a Hope. The series equipped me for this terrible time. Chris had done a preach on accepting help, and whether right or not, one of the things I took from it was to relinquish your pride, and if you need something, and if you need help, it's okay to ask and accept it. I spent 5 days in the hospital asking for coffee deliveries for my family and me, asking people for Bible verses and asking people to pray. And whenever I asked for Bible verses on grief and death, the Bible verses that came in from people were all different, which was amazing in itself. There was a preach on heaven, so I was able to talk to my dad about heaven while he was unconscious. And most pertinently, Steve did a preach on what it means to be a father, and he asked us all to think of one word to describe our fathers. By the Wednesday, we knew that we had very little time left, minutes in fact, and my two sisters, my brother and my mum and I were around my dad's bed holding his hand. And I mentioned Steve's preach and asked them all how they would describe him. So my dad said my brother was his idol. My sister, Kate, said that he's wonderful. My other sister said that he was loving, and my word was understanding. We chatted about why we'd picked those words. So my dad left this world to a chorus of love from his children about how amazing he was. We are four children with the same father, with four different words to describe him. We all have the same father in God, but we probably have different words and experiences, and that's a good thing. There's no need to be envious of someone else's relationship with God, because it can be yours too. I've learned that this year. The week before my dad was taken into hospital, Sandy and Chris had invited me to their life group's firework evening, and we were standing in a field, and I felt this indescribable comfort. It was warm, and I felt the presence of something that I couldn't really explain. And it was fleeting, and for a moment I thought, oh, maybe it's God. And then I didn't really think any more of it. Because I hadn't really been seeking to feel God in any way, and I didn't really know that that kind of feeling was possible. I recently remembered that I'd felt the same feeling of warmth and comfort while at the hospital. God had given me the feeling in the field so that when I felt it in the hospital, I would know it was him and that I was safe and everything was going to be okay. Despite the last few awful weeks, my year has not been defined by the death of my amazing dad. I made a commitment to accept God into my life and follow his guidance, and as a result of that, I started the most amazing new job last April. My parents taught my siblings and me the importance of family, and I'm so incredibly blessed and thankful to God that he has provided me with you, my amazing Grace Church family. My plan for this year is to get baptized, because I've never been available whenever the baptisms have happened, and then become a member, even though I'm a member really. Set up some regular social events for the Grace girls, because we have one before Christmas, which was really fun. And also, I feel like I'm being called to set up a small Bible study group, so I'm going to start doing that if anyone's interested. And my recommendations for everyone here is if you're not part of a life group, you should think about joining one, because they're such a blessing. If someone's invited you today, or you've just come along and you're not a Christian, I'd recommend Alpha, because it's amazing. And if you see someone new or someone you haven't spoken to before, be brave and chat to them, because you might make new friends like I have. Doing all these things has changed my life. So here's to an incredible God-filled 2017. Happy New Year.
Well done. Well done. Isn't it good, eh? And one of the things that Helen mentioned right at the beginning was that Laura had just kept, you know, sort of asked her and mentioned about church and then left it and then asked her again and mentioned about church and left it and asked. And, you know, wouldn't it have been until several times later that the question came. And, you know, I want to thank Laura for taking that bravery to then ask again, even when our friends have said no, to ask again. Oh, 15, there you go, 15 years. Anything? Okay, maybe, you know. Laura, you need to chill out. No, I'm joking. It's good persistence. Yeah, and the thing is I want to encourage all of us, because we've got, you know, Alpha's starting again soon. You know, who have you asked for 15 years who keep saying no? Because you just don't know what they're going through in life. So anyway, great testimony. Thank you, Helen. That's good. Okay. You've messed up my notes, Helen. Unbelievable. That's all right. Okay. So next, John and Lizzie Peel, they got married this year, and they've just been excellent part of our church. And this morning, they're actually in Midhurst because they're serving in one of our kids groups there. But they really wanted to do a testimony. So Lizzie is going to come live to us on the screen. She's just going to share a few minutes about what's been going on in their year.
A couple of years ago, Steve did a preach at New Year. And if you remember, he challenged us as a church to ask God for something that we really wanted or needed in our lives. And I remember him saying, sort of dare to ask God for something big. My husband, John, and I didn't know each other at that stage. And it turns out that he sort of wrote down on a bit of paper that he wanted a loving family to care for. And John's wife had left him and he'd found himself a single dad and very low. And at that time, I was in a similar sort of situation and I was a single parent as well. And I wrote on my piece of paper something that I feared I'd never find, but I longed for, which was a loving husband. That following year, I got baptised and my life started to change. And for the first time, for the better, I started to build a relationship with Jesus and make him a priority in my life. When I met John, my head said, really? But for the first time, I really felt God saying, yes, Lizzie, this is the one. A year after dating, we got married. In October 2016, with the grace of God, we managed to organise an amazing wedding in 10 weeks. Our Grace Church family and friends totally made this happen, and God blessed us with a wonderful day. Thinking back to Steve's preach 2 years ago is an amazing testimony of how wonderful and faithful God is. And as we've also learned, following God's plan for your life doesn't come without its challenges. In a preach from David recently, that reminded us that when you follow God's plan for your life, you also gain the attention of the enemy. And John and I have already experienced many challenges in our marriage that we are sure the enemy would love to see tear us apart. He can put lies in people's heads, and even family and those close to you can try and break you down. But it's our aim to remember and believe what God promises so much to us in the Bible. Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honoured, and I love you. Isaiah 41. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. And those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. So in times of fear, I try to remember what the Lord has already done for me and for John, and the wonderful plan that he has for our lives, for our good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. I've spent a lot of my life feeling inadequate and unloved and like a failure. But it seems God has a habit of taking the most broken or messed up people and using them to be a witness for him. Our story of how we met and what God has done in our lives has touched even our non-Christian friends, and it's something that we are proud to give all the glory to God.
Great. It was good, actually. That was the first wedding that I did the talk at, John and Lizzie's, so I'll never forget it. But one of the things that I wouldn't want you to take away from that is that God is good because he provided Lizzie with a husband. Actually, that's not what she was saying. That was something that obviously was good as part of last year, but it was her relationship that she built with God throughout the year that gave her peace and sustained her. And it was God's provision. It was He does have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And she said right at the beginning that when she started walking, like when she started speaking to God and building that relationship with God, then it was out of those things that these things fell into place. And it's not all easy, is it? Actually, she said that there's been tough times. They've faced challenges. And that's what happens. You know, God promises us a good. It's not that everything will be good, but things will work to our good, you know. And so even in trial and challenge, we can learn things that will be to our benefit and to our good. And so we've got a couple more. How are we doing? We're all right? Yeah? Okay. So Laura Burridge. Let's give her a big round of applause.
I've been wanting to do this for quite a few years. I've been every year, they'd be doing these testimonies, and I'd be thinking, Lord, next year let it be me. And each time my prayers weren't answered. So I'm really chuffed to be doing this today. Quite similar to what Chris said, it's sort of about the ups and downs of life rather than, you know, God suddenly made life amazing and wonderful. So part of our story is in 2012, we had our wonderful daughter, Darcy, and we really hoped and prayed for another baby for a long time. And I found it incredibly hard because nothing was happening. And all around me, everybody else was having babies and getting pregnant and having babies and having more babies. And I was just still there wondering when it was going to happen for us. At one point, I had 16 friends and family who were all either pregnant or had just had a baby. It was very, very difficult. It was unbearable at times. Anyway, we finally fell pregnant 2 Christmases ago, and I found out on the Christmas day, and I was absolutely over the moon, and we were just making plans, and, you know, finally it was going to be so great. And then the baby died, and our hearts were absolutely broken. They were just, you know, smashed. The pain of miscarriage is absolutely immense. Because that baby wasn't just some bump or something on a screen. It was, you know, our child. It was a member of our family, and really loved already. So we had months of recovery to deal with, emotional and physical, and months of praying and seeking God. And I bore Lois silly with all my ranting and crying and a lot of anger. and then finally, I thought maybe it wouldn't ever happen, but we were pregnant again. And then had the agony of wondering, would the baby die again? And, you know, and that was hard. It wasn't a fun pregnancy. Anyway, our amazing little girl, Cara, was born this year. And I got the lovely home water birth that I wanted. And we were so, so grateful to God. You know, it was amazing, and we are still so grateful to God. But with it came incredible, incredible challenges. So the elation of having our second baby was almost overshadowed by 6 months of just sheer horrendousness. I had constant mastitis, which any ladies who've had it, it's absolute agony, and you get really, really ill with it. And, you know, to have it once is bad. I had it 12 times in the first 5 months, and I was just so unwell. And each time I'd get it again, and I remember one night I was so angry with God. I just thought, how can you be letting me go through this again? And I was just in bed and I was so ill. I had a terrible temperature and I felt, you just feel like you've got really horrific flu and obviously a lot of pain as well. And I was yeah, really angry with God. And I felt God just was asking me if I trusted him. And I wasn't really sure, actually, because I kept on getting it again. And I was thinking, well, I don't know if I trust you because you let a lot of bad things happen. But then I felt like God said, well, you need to stop praising me and thanking me. And I was thinking, for what, you know? But then obviously I started thinking, I was like, actually, yes, there is so much I can thank you for. So throughout that night, I was, you know, feeding my baby. I was doing all these old wives' tales remedies for mastitis and just thanking God. So every hour I was up feeding her and thanking God for anything at all I could think of. You know, my lovely bed, how comfortable it was, and just, you know, big things, small things. And it was absolutely incredible. I had people praying as well, but it was incredible because every hour I'd feed her, I'd take my temperature, and every single time my temperature came down one little digit each time. So by the morning, I felt like completely different. It had really had gone overnight. Sadly, I then had it lots more times, but each time it was felt like God was going, do you trust me? He's going to let you this happen again, but do you trust me that I can heal you? Because, you know, it can get worse, and it didn't get worse at all. Anyway, so that was really tough. And then during all this, we also found that our baby was ill. She had what's called silent reflux, which is where acid is burning at the back of her throat all the time. And she also had allergy to cow's milk and soya. So this basically meant she screamed any time that she was awake, which was just unbearable. It was a hideous few months. And there was nothing we could do. She had medication and it was just so rough. It pushed Mark and I to our absolute limits. And wasn't this wonderful start, you know, that we hoped for. But we kept praying and we kept asking for prayer. As you heard me pestering Helen for 15 years, I'm quite a persistent, stubborn person. So I just kept on and on. And we had, wonderful support from our life group. Amazingly, and we kept on coming up the front for prayer, and amazingly, in October, God completely healed Cara of the silent reflux, and that has completely gone now. We've still got the allergies, but, you know, you need something to pray for, don't you? that was incredible. That, you know, proper healing of our little baby, and she's now this cute little gurgling thing. We're still struggling. She doesn't sleep. We seem to create babies that like to wake every single hour all through the night, every night, which is very, very tough. But we've had so many prayers, so many kind messages and practical support this year. Our church being the hands and feet of Jesus, which is what we're asked to be, and which I think we actually do really well, as we've heard from other people's testimonies. I genuinely do find myself thanking God for our children every single day, many times a day sometimes, because I know how blessed I am. Other people have suffered much more than we have, but I know what it's like to want a baby and to lose a baby. And I'm so grateful for our children. And I know that kids are not a right and they're not something that happens for everyone. So anyway, it's been a very, very up and down year. We've had other really, really heavy, traumatic things going on as well that I won't go into. But through all of this tough time and elation, obviously, of having Cara, and through my many, many rants at God, which I probably need to address, he has remained faithful. He hasn't just made everything wonderful and better, but he's remained faithful and loving and there when we need him. And I know that although he's not going to suddenly make my life the bed of roses that I want him to make it, I know that he will be with us continually. Whatever happens with church and our life and you know, jobs and all that kind of stuff, I know that he's with us, holding our hand and guiding us. And like many other people have said, thank you so much to everyone for your support And do feel free to keep praying for Cara.
Great. Thanks, Laura. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. And that's... Please don't go up to Laura with like, oh, in order to help your baby sleep, you should do this, this, and this. Don't do that. She won't thank you for that. that's right, isn't it? Yeah. Just say, well done. Thanks for sharing your testimony. I know some of you. I've got a mother. I've got a mother-in-law as well. And she thinks she knows everything. So, yeah, don't do that. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, it's true. Not even offended. Cool. We've actually got two guys left. So let's welcome up Johnny May.
When I was thinking about doing a testimony, my first thought was kind of, what do I have to say or to talk about? But then I'm reflecting on the year with Karis, which we were thinking about loads of ways in which God has provided for us. So I got married this year. This time last year, me and Karis were just dating. We got engaged in February, married in July. And actually, when we got married, we were both students when we got engaged. We're not at kind of the point where we've built up massive riches and... I realise that probably not many people are like that. And so we didn't have kind of very much money. And actually, we can, just looking back, see loads of ways in which God has just provided really practically for us. So I'm just going to tell a few stories. She is here today. She's in Sparklers, which meant we spent part of New Year's Eve cutting out John the Baptist's, which was good fun. And so a big way that God provided us provided for us with a flat. So it was about June time, about a month or a month and a half before we got married. And we'd inquired about 10 or 15 flats in Chichester. We don't drive, so we're kind of limited to Chichester. And it had just been a blanket no. Just every time we emailed, they emailed back like a day or a couple of days after and say, no, sorry, it's gone. And for part of me kind of thinks, well, if it's gone, why is it still on the website? It's very frustrating. But we prayed together after church one Sunday. And then on the Monday, a flat came up. We went to see it that evening. And then on the Tuesday, I phoned them and said, oh, we want to take the flat. And we paid the deposit that day. And so within 2 days of us praying, we'd gone and seen the flat and we'd got it. And what's more than that, they held it for us for a month. We didn't have the money to just pay Chichester prices for rent for a month that we weren't even staying in it. And although the estate agent sounded quite grumpy when I said that we couldn't take it for another month, they let us have it, which was great. And in my student flat as well, I was kind of running a bit low on money, and we needed money for, you know, when we moved into the flat after we got married, for spending on honeymoon. And so my contract ran until the end of August, and I was going to have to pay rent for August. And obviously we were getting married 23rd of July, and for that time we were going to move into our flat, and so my room was just going to be empty, but I was still going to be paying for it, which was a bit of a pain, an extra £300-400. And then suddenly my landlord texted me one day and said that one of the students who were moving in after us wanted to move in a month early, and asked whether there was any way that I could move out. And I texted him and said, like, yep. And so I didn't have to pay that last month of rent, which is fantastic. Where Karis was living with Darren and Lois, and I was in a student flat, we didn't have kind of like much furniture. And so we had a gift list with a wedding that had everything on we needed for our kitchen. But no white goods. We had a fridge from Darren and Lois, but no washing machine or freezer. And the washing machine was really funny, actually. So Karis prayed about it without me knowing one Thursday morning, and we went to our respective life groups in the evening. And so I was at Dave and Ashley's, and somebody, people were just asking me, oh, you know, what do you need? Do you have everything you need? And I said, oh, well, we need a washing machine. And Dave just chirped up and said, oh, we've got two washing machines just lying about. Do you want one? And he and Rachel Jameson dropped it outside my house, I think the following week or a few weeks later. And that evening, me and Karis saw each other after life group briefly. And I said, oh, we got a washing machine. And she was like, oh, well, I prayed about that this morning. And just God just kind of landed on us. It was just like little things, just being supported through the church. We paid, I think, for virtually nothing ourselves that's now in our flat. It's all been given to us. Becky Robbins from Bognor just texted Karis one day and said and asked Sarah, do you want a bed? We're just getting rid of one. And so that's our bed now. Just free. And then also Karis's job. So Karis graduated this year. She finished in May and then immediately started a new job after these holidays. She's just sent her CV around to different places. It was working as a primary school as a TA, and it was really challenging, and she didn't enjoy it, and it wasn't good. I thank God that she's not there anymore. And even though she didn't like it and was kind of asking, like, God, why am I here? This is a real struggle. The money that she got from that job, just immediately after she finished uni, allowed us to pay the deposit on the flat. It was really useful money. And then actually she's just started a job in September at Ford Water Special School. And she applied and she got it, even though she didn't think she was going to get it. And is really, really enjoying it. And even though it's challenging sometimes, it's where she feels gifted in, passionate about where God wants her. And so God's really provided that. So to sum up, we just feel really immensely blessed, protected and cared for by God. He's really raised our faith with praying and provision. And we just think that actually getting married and organising the wedding could have been really, really difficult. It could have been a real challenge. I'm sure some people's engagements might have been really difficult. But actually, we've just been really, really blessed. Especially like Darren. Darren's great for organising weddings. I'm not sure whether that's a service that he just offers freely, though. You have to be kind of part of the family. I thought I'd just finish with Philippians 4:19, which is part of the preaching series. And it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And that's definitely been true for us this year.
Wonderful. Well done. He's a good provider, isn't he, God? Oh, God. Okay, we've run out of time. Would you mind if we just do one more? Is that all right? We'll make it a quick one. We'll do one more, and then I'll wrap us up. So come on, Rob. Come and share with us what's been going on with you.
Well, I wasn't expecting to be standing here this morning. In fact, a couple of hours ago, I was still in bed. I had a late night. And I wasn't partying. I was on the floor of my bedroom. I was on the floor of my bedroom being healed. I don't want to hide this miracle because that's what it is. Last year, suffered for 5 months with sciatica, which was incredibly painful. If anyone's ever had sciatica, it's one of the most horrendous pains you can feel, running through your pelvis, right through your leg to your ankle. I could hardly walk. I couldn't work. I couldn't sleep. That lasted for 5 months. I was in recovery, and I thought I was getting better. So I thought I'd sign up and do a FA Level 1 goalkeeping course. Because I love my sport, and I coach a football team, young lads. So I did this, and I'm 46 years old, and I was diving around like a 19-year-old. And I suffered another injury. It wasn't a sciatica, even though that was clearing up. I suffered trauma to my spine somehow. So for the following 5 months, I've been in increasing amount of chronic pain. in my upper back and my shoulders and my arm. The Holy Spirit is still healing me now, I know it. A few weeks ago, I couldn't even hold my hand up. I could not do that. A few days ago, I could not do that. I couldn't even put my own trousers on. I couldn't put my belt on because of the pain I was in. I went to the doctor. They referred me to the hospital. They didn't really know what was wrong. They thought I might have ruptured a rotator cuff, tendon, or trapped a nerve, resulting in a frozen shoulder. Christmas was approaching. The pain was getting more and more severe. I couldn't sleep. I was prescribed some medications, painkillers that were just making me feel really sick, I couldn't concentrate on anything, and I decided to stop taking these particular painkillers because they really weren't helping. They weren't even killing the pain, to be honest with you. So I got some more painkillers from the doctor. It cost me £8. But I didn't want to take them. There was something inside of me saying, don't take them. Firstly, I didn't want to feel as sick as I had been feeling. Believe me, they were really making me feel sick and dizzy and all sorts of horrible side effects. One night, I must say, I was not able to sleep. I hadn't slept properly for weeks, just a couple of hours here and there, because the pain, every time I moved in bed, the pain was so shooting through my arm, it just woke me up in horrendous pain. This one particular night, I said to my wife, Angie, I've got to take those painkillers. And I went downstairs, found them, and I got them out. And there was something inside of me, and I know it was God, saying, don't take them. Just trust in me. Trust in me.
Tell us what happened last night.
So last night, three days before Christmas, I was in prayer, praying for God to heal me. And I was on the floor, being overcome by the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And the places in my arm that were so painful, this arm, through no way I was doing it, the Holy Spirit was guiding this arm to the places that the pain was, and was manipulating the pain so much so I've got bruises down my arm, and I was being told this is in three stages. That was day one. A few days later, I think it was Boxing Day, I was in bed. I woke up in pain. I started praying. This hand again went to the area and was manipulating and pinching and pulling and in prayer, in tongues. I suddenly started to blow on the painful area in this place here. And honestly, it was like a ice cold breath that was just blowing on this painful area, healing and healing and healing. And this hand was just pushing out the pain. So much so, it was just so pleasurable to feel that pain being released. The next day, the pain was still there, but it was easing. But I knew that there was one other prayer moment to come, and that was last night, which was a really intense moment on the bedroom floor, where I don't know, the Holy Spirit was healing me in such a way. I was doing these like extreme kind of stretching positions on my back, stretching my spine. And I had this vision of my spine being stretched and stretched and stretched. And the pain was just being released vertebrae by vertebrae by vertebrae. By this point, this hand was able to come up, and I was literally pushing the pain out of my vertebrae, out of my neck, out the top of my head. It was just like being pulled out. The Holy Spirit was at work so powerfully. It was absolutely incredible. I just cannot hide this miracle of healing. I'm able to do this. I could not do that 2 days ago. And I was frightened I wouldn't be able to articulate that amount, but hopefully I got it across. But thank you for listening. I just needed to share it. Thanks.
Well done. Go on. God heals. He's a miracle worker, isn't he? Let's stand together. I'd love to pray. There's lots to give thanks for, isn't there? And, I mentioned at the beginning that, to encourage you to think of all those things that God might have done in your life over this year and all you can give thanks for. And I think it'd be good to just take a moment to do that. I want to give you a moment just to give thanks to God for all that he's been doing in your life. And, we've heard many stories today, haven't we, of different people in different situations where God has been at work. He's been moving. And let's pray. I want to give you a moment just for you to start. Just talk to God yourself, and then I'll pray. Yeah, dear Father, I just want to thank you for all the wonderful stories that we've heard this morning of all the different ways in which you've been at work in people's lives. I thank you, Lord, that the key to every single one of them is that you have been in relationship, or they have sought a relationship with you, and you have you've been at work in people's lives. And Lord, it might not have been healing, although you've done that clearly. We thank you for that. It might not have been provision, although you clearly provided many different ways for Johnny and for others. And I thank you, Lord, that of all these things, Lord, that you are a God who is with us. You never will leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Father, that for all these people, Lord God, you have stood by them, Lord, through the good times and through the tough times, Lord. You have been with them, and they have known your presence with them. Lord, thank you, Father, that when that they have just, known you. They've known you and your peace amongst them, Lord God. Even with screaming babies, Lord God, you have been there and you've been speaking. And I pray, Lord God, as we look into 2017, Lord, we look forward to all the amazing things you're going to do. And Father, we're expecting that you'll be at work, that you will move in our lives. Thank you that for each and every one of us, that you have a plan for us. Thank you, Lord God, that those plans are for our welfare and not for evil. Thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of trial and trouble, we can know that you are at work, that you are in control, that you have authority over all things. And Father, we just say at the outset that we know that even though when we are faithless, that you are faithful. And Father, we put our trust in you. We stand firm on the rock of our salvation, which is Jesus our Lord. And we ask you, Lord God, would you, in every person's life throughout this year, whatever we may face, I pray, Lord God, would they know your presence with them. I pray, Father, would they know you just abounding, Lord God, in their lives. Father, I pray that through everything, Lord God, would you be preeminent. I pray, Father, Lord God, that we would know that your grace is sufficient for us every single day. Help us to wake up each morning knowing, Lord God, that we are loved by you, that we have value and worth and dignity in your sight, not because we may do or not do, but just because we are children that are made in your image. Thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally. Thank you that you're faithful to us. Lord, we commit this year to you. We ask you to have your way amongst us as a church. Lord, we've got many things to look forward to. And we say, Lord, would you take all the glory and all the praise and adoration. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.